from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, this is a good day. I mean, I knew today's show was going to be good coming out with all the NBA, the night stuff. Knights win. They're back up tonight. They're not up in the series. It's 2-1, but another game against the Oilers coming up here in just a little bit. If you love hockey, change the channel right now. Because all of our hockey coverage is mastered over on 1340 and 98.9 FM, Fox Sports Las Vegas. So check them out. We're on some NBA as Boston's up 16-14 on the Knicks. 5.5 minutes left in the first. The lottery went down a little while ago, and Utah had a 14% chance of getting the first pick. So did Charlotte. And neither one of them got the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavericks got it. We'll get to John's outrageous, ridiculous stance on this with Dallas having the number one pick and Cooper Flagg. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. I had a follow-up on something from last week because I panicked. I didn't react to it well. Willie, as he does, very unprofessional, put me on the spot like I do with everyone else. We were talking about celebrity chefs, and I know you like to cook. You like to put pictures up, although I think you've learned over time you can't win when you put pictures up of food you've made. On social media, it turns into a disaster. People are just way too overly critical. You can take it. We know others who cannot. Like, he tries his best. Sammy P's food looks good, but if he gets any bit of criticism, it's Mount Sammy.
You know?
Presentation is part of it. I'm not saying with him, but you got to be careful because you know you're going to get a rash of crap from people who might not even cook or fancy themselves experts. So I was put on the spot about this one. We were talking about celebrity chefs, and I watch all these shows, love them. I know Danny does as well when degenerate Danny from The Morning Show has been on. And Willie was asking about celebrity chef. You'd have cook you a meal and then sit there and eat dinner with you, right? And he said Tom Colicchio. Which they actually sit there and talk part of it, I think, is important. I don't know that I'd want to talk to Colicchio for that long, but he could be interesting. I said Alex Warnashelli, who I think is great, real sassy. She cooks Italian food. She's good. But I thought about it, and a lot of it's based on, I'm going to do this again. Greg's always blown away by this one.
Okay.
That as a radio guy, I tend to feature or like people who are actually nice to me in interviews.
Yes.
I can't get that out of my head. So my list would actually be Roy Choi. Man, he was good on the interview.
He was great.
Zimmer in back-to-back years was dynamite.
Yep.
I've never had David Chang on, and I think David Chang has a rep as being kind of a jerk, but I don't mind being around a jerk every once in a while, right? I am one. I put Alex G and, of course, Mark McMillan. That was a major gaffe on my part, not having celebrity chef Mark McMillan, of course, one of the stars of Next Level Chef. You watch these shows.
Yes. I've got my list. Okay. Am I ranking them right, or it's just
five? I just kind of throw them out there.
All right. I'm going low-hanging fruit first. I, for a while, on my TikTok feed, would just have videos of Gordon Ramsay cursing people out. It is so good.
He's magical. Yes.
He is so great at absolutely destroying people. And I think that'd be interesting, again, keeping with the concept of having to sit there and talk with them as well as get food from them.
Yeah.
I think Ramsey's an easy selection. Going back to your point about interviews that were great, Zimmern was on the list because he's been great every time we've talked to him. Also, one of our underrated interviews from the Las Vegas Super Bowl, Brian Voltaggio was great.
Well, we know why. You thought he was great.
He offered me like a spot in the kitchen to go observe, yes, which we did not take him. I got to do better at that. He seemed to legitimately offer me.
You should have done it on the spot.
He seemed to legitimately offer me a chance to observe the back of the kitchen over there at the restaurant in Mandalay
Bay.
He was
very intrigued that you were intrigued, that you like, do you really love it? You say you love it. Do you really love it? Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You can see the kitchen. You can work around the guys.
And watching people get cursed out and everything, like, it would have been great.
Chef.
Shut up! You know, all that kind of stuff. I'll take one. I think this one's a little off the out of left field. Is it Teeny?
Yeah.
The blonde girl that was on Next Level with Mark, yes.
You see her on social media?
Yes, that's where I started following her.
I don't see her on my algorithm, but I heard she's gigantic on social media.
Oh, yeah, so that's how I knew who she was before, obviously, like the Next Level stuff.
I didn't.
And then I saw her on there because she started videos just cooking. cooking dinner for her boyfriend. And they're like, and it's funny because I was even telling my wife this like the other day for whatever reason. But like, I followed her for so long. I have seen her go from making extravagant meals in like a really dingy, crappy apartment to like this. She's got this like incredible kitchen now. Really? And she's like, yeah, like you've seen her. So she's been pretty cool.
And all internet created.
Yeah, right. Correct. So she's on the list as well.
Yep.
My list is short. That's about it.
That was good.
It's a good list, right? Yeah.
Very good. Very good. We like these people. They're funny.
Well, maybe. The two of them I've never met, so maybe they're actual bores. Who knows?
Well, that's what I said with David Chang.
Yeah.
He might be a horse's ass, but I've watched him on enough shows that I think I kind of get his attitude. I think he was a big – see the one? I think he was a really big golfer too. Not that I want to talk golf with him, but he was like a big junior golf star.
Yes.
And then finally decided that's enough of that. So there's some sports there. There's sports with all these people. And I don't have to just talk sports. You know, no sports. That's the rule tonight. No sports. They're like, who are you? You're going to set the rules?
Correct.
You got me to cook you a meal. We're going to talk about what I want. If I want to ask you about sports, you're going to talk sports.
Well, that's the real dynamic. Yes. How does that work?
One study said on this when they asked people, hey, celebrity chef, who would you want to make you dinner and have a meal with? No, let me get it right. For a celebrity chef meal, what would they be willing to spend? The average was about $380 up to $500.
Oh, I got to spend money on this?
Yeah, take it easy.
Yeah, no.
I'm out.
No, no way. I thought we were just doing this.
$380?
Yeah.
I mean, if you are, it'd probably go to charity. You are going to have dinner with them.
I mean, I guess $300 is not that bad. I've paid more for meals before, but that included me and the wife. So, like, do I get to bring her with me?
Probably.
Okay, then that's not too bad.
It's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
For a celebrity experience?
For a hand, like, crafted meal?
I brought you a gift today. You want to tell people?
Oh, you mean these crumpled Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective hats from their live podcast taping here in Las Vegas, I believe during Super Bowl week?
I think it was NBA All-Star week. Here. I think it was.
Did they have the All-Star game here? They didn't have the All-Star. Are you talking about? Oh, no. It was NBA Cup week.
It was NBA last year. Cup. You're right.
And not like this most recent one. I think it was like the one before.
Might have been the first one.
Yeah.
With the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's a little old.
It's a little bit.
They're brand new. They still have the sticker on them.
It's very true. They also have cat hair on them.
I know they do. I used a lint brush repeatedly. The house is full of cat hair. What do you want me to do? We like BBW.
He's very good.
He is very good. Big Brian Windhorst. When we saw the lottery unfold, it was almost immediate. One was the celebration that the Jazz did not get the number one pick, so they can't get Cooper Flagg.
Right. Can't build around the great white hope.
Two was that the Mavs got him, which is completely fascinating. You then tweeted out, Cooper Flagg will never play for Dallas.
Right.
And your thought there is, Dallas will flip him.
Yeah.
Because Dallas is all in for now.
It's what they did. It's what they willingly did when they traded for Anthony Davis.
They shortened the window. We're not worried about having Luka survive, 8 years in his prime. We're getting Anthony Davis for three, and we're going to try to win now.
Absolutely. It's what they've willingly said on record. So why then would I believe that that team is not going to aggressively pursue the blue chip that is on the table now this offseason in Giannis Antetokounmpo? It's almost poetic that the day we get this half report from Shams about Giannis being open to potentially leaving if he decides to leave, which is a weird report in and of itself, it's poetic that that same day the Dallas Mavericks get the first overall pick. And as Brian Windhorst pointed out today.
He took your take about a half an hour later on TV.
On television.
Yep.
As he pointed out, Dallas has wanted Giannis for years, and they have an Antetokounmpo on their roster. I don't know if they are going to 100% get him, but whatever Dallas can offer now becomes that much more attractive because the Milwaukee Bucks can go, holy smokes, we can – how often does that happen? Superstar in the early 30s that wants to move on. Here you go. In his place is a franchise cornerstone.
Yeah, one of every like 8 year true ticket seller as a number one pick.
Yeah.
Everyone, especially with international players now, everyone does not come with college basketball celebrity because that's even more uncommon as well.
Yep.
Right? This kid was hyped up when he was 15, 16 years old. So you get all the marketing lead in from his high school days. You get that. The workout here that wasn't supposed to be filmed, but it got out against Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
You get a good year at Duke. You make it to the Final Four. You get all that. in a package for Giannis. You get Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Of course. I mean, that's.
I don't think it's. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think. Can Dallas win a title with AD and Giannis? I don't know how much I. You tell me about Nico Harrison. Like, is he. It's, can he be real a real program builder?
I mean, look, I think that this was an idiotic move of epic proportions. Not moving Luka. That actually, in and of itself, is not the craziest thing in the world. By the way, especially with. The second the Lakers get eliminated, their head coach saying the day after, everybody's got to be in championship shape. That's what Nico was talking about. So in a vacuum, wanting to move on from Luka and saying, I don't trust the long-term picture here is not crazy. What was crazy was the process of calling one guy your best friend and not getting anything or shopping around for what the best package could be for him. But he also, I don't like want to give him too much credit, but he also doesn't get enough credit for drafting Derek Lively, who turned out to be a pretty good pick. Getting P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford on the cheap at the trade deadline, which ultimately helped them get to the NBA Finals. Those were integral pieces to what they did. They also acquired Kyrie Irving, which at the time looked absolutely insane because he had just gone through everything with your favorite team, the Brooklyn Nets. But he actually went to Dallas and played extremely well before he got injured. If you sift through the noise, there's some pretty good moves there that at least are okay. That aren't this head-scratching, mind-numbing idiocy that we watched at the trade deadline this last year.
So let's roll with this. So today is horrifying for the Jazz. Is there another team that now sees the number one pick, Cooper Flagg, going to Dallas, and you pitching he could be used as trade bait to go get Giannis? Is there another team that's like, oh, crap. This could be an absolute disaster for us.
In that they lose out on the Giannis sweepstakes?
That and even bigger. The Lakers.
Oh.
Is the bridge like completely freaking torched with Luka?
Between Luka and Dallas? I mean, I would think so. Why would we?
What if it wasn't?
What do you? I don't understand. This is very mysterious.
Well, I mean, does Luka have a deal signed for the future?
No, not yet.
Okay.
You think you would, like, leave and go back to Dallas?
Why not? If I'm looking at this offseason and I'm going to sign my whatever max deal, if I'm Luka, I want to know who's going to be around me, and it's not LeBron. Like, LeBron's a one-year piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my hopes set on Lakers getting Giannis so we can be that great 1-2 punch inside-outside duo.
I mean,
and my team has a better chance at getting Giannis. Why am I staying here?
I mean, I think the rebuttal would be that team cost you tens of millions of dollars because they traded you and the extension kills you. Like, you can't get the money that you wanted.
Do you think all of it's about money for him?
I mean, I don't know, but that's maybe sticks in your craw a little bit. Also, I mean,
they did. I mean, they
weren't exactly nice on the way out.
Well, but they kind of smoothed things over at the end. Like, no. The way they acted at the beginning, where it was like, we're tossing people out of the building for chanting, we want Luka. And then he goes back for one of the final games of the year, and it's like he's crying, and there's a big tribute.
Right.
He torched him. But they made an effort.
Yeah, but they
I don't think it's crazy that they could pitch him and go, listen, we were playing checkers, or we were playing chess. The other morons around the NBA and the NBA media.
I don't think that's
they're dummies. Happen.
They called him a fat slob on the way out. They quite literally said, we don't trust him to be healthy. He won't stop drinking beer and eating fried cheese. I can't do this anymore. Get him out of here.
Things are said sometimes.
Right. I think that's a small thing.
Well,
I mean, what's really going to happen is he's going to leave for the Clippers.
Here's another factor. Last week, LeBron's talking about, like, I haven't made my decision yet. And he made a statement about recruiting. And he's like, oh, that's not my job. No, it is your job. It is your job.
Yeah.
Like, with that opening, Dallas could be, you know what? Look at the team we're putting together here. Okay?
Of course.
We got you AD, and now we're going to get you Giannis. Let's go.
I mean, I think, but again.
Whoever the best salesperson is there, or if they don't have one, hire one. Whoever the best pitch person is in Dallas, get someone in the organization. Well, how about this? Since he's whatever he is now in terms of ownership or whatever, part of the organization, it's Mark Cuban.
Mm.
Use Mark Cuban.
I don't know if it's Luka, but I do think in theory, if you go and get Giannis, you obviously become a very attractive organization because you're going to have Giannis and AD, and I think there's a lot of players that would be willing to go and play for that organization.
Would you retort by saying they don't need a ball dominant point guard?
No, I think they do.
Okay.
I would think I don't know about ball dominant, but you definitely need perimeter talent. Look what Giannis just went through. He played for a team that had no perimeter athleticism whatsoever, and they got cooked by the Indiana Pacers. Even when Lillard was out there, they weren't good. Like, he needs perimeter help. That is, I think, an absolute. Look at the one deal they made that ultimately got him a championship. It was Drew Holiday.
Man, you got me fascinated here.
I don't think Dallas
for me was left for dead. Nothing. This is a total failure. Start the rebuild, and now they have the number one pick in Cooper Flagg, and they can do whatever they want with him.
Yeah. I don't think it's a lot of people. I already see the Cooper Flagg, like, Mavericks jersey edits. I don't think it's that cut and dry. Again, you as a team willingly said, no, we'll take the 3 to 4 year window. And now here it is on a silver platter. You can make that window wide open by going and getting Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Someone better get to work on the recruiting front. All these teams. So where are you on Lakers with LeBron?
I mean, I think they're going to be fine. I don't know what they're going to add to that team that's realistically going to have them compete with some of these teams at the top of the West next year. Giannis. I think it's going to be very – they Giannis. Have nothing to trade for him. Austin Reeves is not a good enough centerpiece of a package to get Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, three-way.
Okay. So what draft assets are the Bucks getting back?
Can I get draft assets? The Lakers don't have a bunch of first-round picks?
No.
Down the road?
They don't have a bunch, no.
What do the Cavs have?
That's the interesting one. Because they
I want the Cavs involved in something with LeBron.
You want them to trade for LeBron?
I want LeBron in a package that involves the Cavs, and if it turns into a three-way.
I mean, in theory, you have Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Darius Garland. Like, those are all pretty attractive pieces.
Thought with the Lakers was they get at least one of the big guys.
Sure.
Right? I think you'd probably take Mobley over Jared Allen, but I'll take either one of them. And then do they have a decent 3-and-D piece on the Cavaliers roster? Right? They traded for DeAndre Hunter.
Yep.
And he's decent defensively. It's not bad. I think there's something that can be worked here. But yeah. here's the bottom line.
By the way, real quick to answer your question, according to Fanspo, they do have their first-round picks in 2026, 2028, 2030, and 2031. I'll look up the exact rule. You can't trade. There's a certain stipulation about, trading too far out
right.
in terms of first-round picks and consecutive years.
Bottom line for me is, if I'm Jeannie Buss, I'm looking at the players that could be available, and I want Luka back, and I want to make Luka happy. And if part of that happiness doesn't include LeBron, I have to have a tough talk with LeBron and say, listen, you got to give us more flexibility. You can't make max money. If you want to win a title on the way out, then you got to cooperate. And we have a chance now to get another superstar with Luka, and these windows are not open very often with Giannis. So if you're going to get in the way of us getting Giannis, then we got to do something with you, brother.
Here's the problem. I wanted to make sure he does have a no-trade clause.
LeBron has an opt-in and a no-trade clause?
Yeah. That becomes a little bit difficult.
Come on. Well, who was saying it last week? Rachel Nichols was talking about Tom Brady taking less money. Can you just take less money now so we can have more flexibility and whatever? You're in LA. We're gonna reward you on the back end.
Do the Dodgers thing, right?
Yep.
Just kick it. Just kick the can down the road.
I don't even know if that's legal in the NBA. I have no idea. Right. But in essence, you're doing that. You're doing something deferred.
Right.
There's no one that will ever convince me that Robert Kraft doesn't owe Brady and Johnny Kraft owe Brady something.
It's part of the reason why they have such a beef.
They haven't paid yet.
Yeah.
Then maybe that's why he went to the Raiders to get some ownership.
Because here's the other part about the Lakers being involved in something like this. You have to remember, too, that any first-round pick of the Lakers that is traded does become less enticing because, in theory, that team has Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I don't need your first-round picks in the next couple of years. I want them down the road. Now, that doesn't help a Bucks immediate rebuild.
Yeah.
But I'm very bullish on the if I get a couple of the Cavs pieces and some first round picks from them, if they're dumb enough, okay, dumb's not the right word. Do they have a championship team?
The Lakers?
The Cavaliers.
Oh, the Cavaliers.
As they're currently constituted.
I think so. I think that this series, they should not have blown game two. You have to win that game. When you get Donovan Mitchell to have the performance that he does, that is a game that is unacceptable when you talk about losing it the way that they collapsed down the stretch. Again, up by 7 with like 40 seconds left. Having said that, when you look at it from the overall like perspective, look, it's a weird series. Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, and Evan Mobley all got hurt. They missed the game. They're clearly not healthy either. Darius Garland has a special shoe that he's wearing that's keeping his toe in place. He's very hurt. He might need surgery.
So don't lose hope.
So that's what, yeah. I wouldn't lose hope entirely that this is absolutely nothing at all.
What if Bronny's in the deal?
I think I'm okay. I don't think that changes anything.
It doesn't. You don't think they look at it like, hey, let's be realistic. We can't win a title with these guys, so let's at least get LeBron back, final homecoming, make a lot of money for the next 2 years.
I mean, maybe. I don't think so.
We'll get Dalton Connect in the deal.
Get something. Get more than what the Lakers get more than what the Mavericks got.
This is classic Northeast sports talk here. I'm playing the role of the caller. I want Giannis. Any way for me to get Giannis, I'm going to make ridiculous trade offers. The other team's going to get nothing, and they're going to get my problem.
Yeah.
You take LeBron. Give me good players. No, you're good. You're going to win a title with LeBron.
Where does Draymond fall in all this? Trade for him.
Oh, is he the guy who could be the help? Yeah. Every year we talk about LeBron wants to play with him. So yeah. Is he the big offseason help that the Lakers will get?
Of course. No, though. I mean, that's what the status of the Lakers are. The big offseason acquisition for the Lakers is going to be, drumroll please, Daniel Gafford. Ugh. That's where we're at. That's where you're at.
Come on, Genie. You can't stand for this.
It goes back, again, they step in it all the time.
So you think something's going to work out?
I mean, I'm just talking about Luka. Like, you get that, and now you're going to sit back and just have Luka for forever, potentially.
Yeah, but urgency now. You need
sure,
more.
Sure, of course you should. But Rob Pelinka stinks as a GM, and he just got an extension because he fleeced his best buddy. They stink. He stinks. He's not a good GM. But he falls ass backwards into stuff all the time, and they're like, yeah, sure, we'll give you more money.
LeBron to Cleveland. Two good Cleveland players, and Giannis comes in a four-way deal.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
Good. That's what Jeannie has to do. She's got to step up and get this done. The window's now.
They'll call the Bucks, and the Bucks will be like, you know what? We'll give you Giannis for Austin Reeves straight up. In fact, we'll include a first-round pick because you got to take on the salary cap issues that Giannis comes with. And they'll be like, okay, sure, I guess. Any way we can change Austin Reeves to Dalton Connect instead? Like, sure, why not?
Meanwhile, you're sitting on the Lakers end. You're like, we'll give both. Yeah. They only ask for one, and it's the downgrade.
By the way, I do like the jokes that people on Twitter are pointing out. There's no way that Nico would trade for Giannis. He would actually trade for the rights to Larry Bird instead.
I think he has a big bounce back this offseason.
Nico?
I think it's going to be a really big offseason, especially if he can schmooze whoever they need to bring in.
Dude, if they...
I'm pitching the Lakers thing, but I think the Mavs can become a factor here and really F them.
They can. In all seriousness, the smoke can clear from this. They could have Giannis and AD in a roster that looks like it could actually be pretty good in the Western Conference.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, staying with the NBA. John Montobel's here from VSiN. Griffin, that's the company. It's Cofield. This OKC Nuggets series, pretty intriguing. Let's bring in one of the guys who we really like to lean on for Denver Sports Talk, and it's Matt Smith. Follow him up on YouTube, especially, Real Matt Smith Show. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, guys? How you doing, fellas?
We're fired up. We were just talking about the lottery. None of us are fans of the state of Utah, so we're really happy about Utah not getting, losing the lottery, as I put it out on Twitter, and not getting Cooper Flagg. But we can get to that in a couple minutes. Let's talk about what's going on with the Nuggets and what could have been to this point in the series. It's a 2-2 series. Tell me what the hell happened in the fourth quarter for the Nuggets in this last game.
Yeah, it sure seemed like they ran out of gas, didn't it? You know, this is a team that in a lot of ways this year has kind of been held together with chicken wire. And, you know, they've had guys in and out of the lineup. And it reminds me a lot of what happened last year. Just so top heavy, really don't have a bench. You're right now reaping the rewards of Calvin Booth not really building you a cohesive unit. And yet again, another year of Nikola Jokic's prime without a reliable second unit to utilize and to at least give these guys a little bit of a respite, right? So you've got heavy usage with your starters and then Westbrook off the bench. Outside of that, it's kind of just throwing the book at the wall, and it sure looked like they let the rope slip the other night. And to be quite honest, that was a character-building win, I thought, for OKC. That's a team that is just trying to get over the hump, and the Nuggets left the door open, and I thought OKC grew up and walked right through it the other night. So I think they have all the momentum in this series with two of the three potential games at home, and having Denver let one slip kind of gave it back for game one, right? So now this thing's knotted up, and I would say here in Colorado we don't have a ton of hope, but it felt like that was a massive missed opportunity.
So you mentioned Jokic. I'm curious, how much would you divvy up the pie chart for fatigue, and how much would you divvy up the Thunder and the way they've been playing him defensively, the reason why he struggled the last three games?
That's a great question. It really is. This is the most frustrated I think we've seen him in the last few years, and a lot of that has to do with OKC and how they're mixing up coverages. Now, I'm not sure how banged up he really is, guys. I don't think injuries are an excuse, but I did see that video of him out at the bar between games one and two in Oklahoma City, and he had the shooting sleeve on at the bar. That tells me maybe that elbow needs a little bit of compression, and he's been shooting terribly games two through four. So maybe that has something to do with it, but I do think he's frustrated to a real degree. And basically what Oklahoma City is doing is they're picking one of two avenues. You either let Jokic score 50 points a game and see if you can, you know, hang in there with them and limit everybody else, or you just make everyone else beat you. And with Michael Porter Jr. playing with a diaper on his shoulder, I don't think I've ever seen a shoulder brace like that in my life. The paper mache shoulder, we call it here in Denver. And then Jamal being a little bit inconsistent and without a ton of help around them. It's quite remarkable that Denver has it knotted up as is. If you were to have asked me before the series, would you take 2-2 after four games? I'd probably sign up for it, you know, every day of the week, twice on Sundays.
Can you put into words what Aaron Gordon has done in this postseason?
Yeah, he's kept them alive. I think that is the accurate way to describe it. He has really come along as a player, and I covered him going back to his college days at Arizona. I got a chance to watch him up close in person, and he was always a freakish athlete, and I thought he'd have kind of like a Blake Griffin type of effect, but when he got to Denver, he was one of the real few who just said, okay, I will learn at the feet of Nikola Jokic, the great one, and look at how much it's rubbed off on him. He approaches everything the right way. He's matured a ton, and as the guys said after the game one win, he's the soul of that team, and I think that's accurate. In Denver, we call him Mr. Nugget. If people aren't familiar, after they won the championship in 2023, he took his shirt off and walked down one of the main roads in downtown Denver with all the hordes of fans, and you know, it was a pretty cool scene. So he's pretty beloved here, and he's had one hell of a playoff run so far.
Matt Smith with us. So looking back now on the Michael Malone firing, I don't know where you were at the time, but where are you now in terms of, was that the right move?
Yeah, it was definitely a shock, right? I mean, the latest head coach has been fired, especially going into playoffs. Considering what he'd done here, you don't really fire a championship-winning coach at that time in the year if there's not something a little bit more to the story. And the truth is, the reports behind the scenes are that Calvin Booth and Michael Malone were at a complete standoff. It was like the Cold War. These guys were not talking. And as a result, Malone had his guys and Booth had his guys. And there was pressure from the front office down to the coaching staff. Hey, you got to play some of these younger guys, Jalen Pickett, Peyton Watson, Julian Strother, and start to develop them. But at the same time, Booth went out and signed Russell Westbrook in the offseason. What did he think Michael Malone was going to do? This is a guy who is notorious for not wanting to play younger players. So from what it sounds like, and I thought it was really interesting the way that their interim coach David Adelman put it, he's well-liked in the locker room, obviously, you know, the son of NBA royalty in a way there. But he said that these guys have grown up now. They're no longer kids. And if you think about it, Michael Malone was there at the inception and was the key cog in turning around the Nuggets franchise when he took over from Brian Shaw. And I think he had become just a little bit overbearing where you have Nikola Jokic, who is this basketball supercomputer, sometimes you just got to let him be that. And I think we've seen the team take a little bit more accountability. Now, do I think the other night it might have been nice to have a guy who could have lit a fire up under his ass? Yeah, I think that would have been a great thing for Nikola Jokic, and I don't think they have that on the bench. But at the same time, I'm not sure how much it would matter with fatigue, as you brought up, and certainly with whatever bumps and bruises he's dealing with. So at first it was a shock. And now I think as time has gone on, we're starting to see, okay, well, maybe that was the reason. I'll say this. I do not think the Nuggets would still be playing if he were still the head coach.
Okay, well, that speaks well of Adelman. Are there supporters of Adelman getting the job long term, or do Nuggets fans want a bigger name?
Well, I'll just tell you, the Kroenkes are notorious from hiring from within. Jared Bednar, when Patrick Waugh was fired as the head coach of the Avalanche, he was their AHL coach, and he took over a team that only got 49 points in an entire season, and they stuck with him, and he eventually became a Stanley Cup championship-winning coach. I think they like him. The Kroenkes do. I think there's a lot of momentum within the building for him to get the job, but you look at what they've done here in two series, and even having it tied at two with Oklahoma City, he's got to have an argument for it. You know, you look at the market. Can you name me somebody out there that you really want to, you know, bring in here? What are you going to bring Phil Jackson off the ranch from Montana, right? I'm not exactly sure.
I mean, there's a championship-winning coach that's available. His name's Michael Malone.
Yeah. Well, look, the rest of the NBA so far has said no to Michael Malone, which surprised me. I think a lot of us here in Denver expected San Antonio to make a real run at him. Maybe he takes a year off. Maybe he sits on somebody's staff as an assistant. I don't know. But he'll be a head coach in the league by next season at the latest. I'd be pretty surprised if he wouldn't be. He's got a really good reputation.
The real Matt Smith up on Twitter. I'm glad you're still with us. I don't want to make jokes about potentially offing yourself, but you seem very despondent around the Shedeur Sanders draft. I followed that in awe.
Oh,
can you take us through 3 days of the draft as you were absolutely freaking
shocked,
sideswiped, shocked, like trying to explain it, just talk it out to the world? You were really into the Shedeur Sanders draft.
Well, I've been covering CU every single day on the beat since Coach Prime has taken over, and I've been covering CU for, gosh, almost 15 years now. So, you know, I've been incredibly invested on the road, and I know these guys pretty well at this point. And, yeah, man, it is remarkable to see what happened, and I think he's got a long road ahead to even make a roster. I mean, we're talking about the fourth quarterback on the depth chart. How often have you guys seen the fourth QB make a 53? Not very often. So something's got to give there in the quarterback room. It's also a franchise that doesn't have a reputation for developing quarterbacks. You know, it's fascinating covering CU. You've got this, you know, just absolute swarm of Coach Prime sycophants, which, you know, we love them because, you know, they've certainly brought the university a lot of attention and praise. But anytime you say something that's not glowingly positive, and certainly I'm somebody who isn't afraid to speak his mind, so I'm not sure how great of a situation it is in Cleveland for him. I don't really know about taking a quarterback in the third round then taking one in the fifth. You know, Dylan Gabriel's got roster security. He's got job security. Shedeur doesn't. Shedeur has to go out and be at least definitively, I don't know, represent definitively more potential than either Flacco or Kenny Pickett. And I think he can. I think he's that type of a player. I mean, guys, this is a player that on December 2nd, NFL Mock Draft Database, which compiles every mock draft on the internet, had as their consensus second overall pick, to slide to the fifth round is beyond unprecedented. And I truly believe if given a true fair shake, he will absolutely make the roster. And it's the Browns. Do we expect them to only play with one quarterback this year? You know, I think they will be near the bottom of their division, assuredly. So, look, I am still recovering from it. But what's clear is this. What's clear is this, gentlemen. The NFL wasn't buying what they were selling, right? I mean, point blank, period. No matter what happened, be it in the pre-draft interviews or be the tape, I think they couldn't see the forest through the trees with some of the stuff that he had to deal with at Colorado compared to some of his peers. You know, most importantly, the offensive line and the scheme. By the way, the scheme wasn't great. Shador had to throw the ball just to move the ball. They had the worst rushing attack in the country in consecutive seasons and one of the worst Power 5 O-lines, if not the worst Power 5 O-line in the country, back-to-back years. Nobody else, not Cam Ward, not Gabriel, not Milroe, not Chuck, not any of them had to deal with that. So I truly believe if given the opportunity and a different offensive coordinator other than Pat Shurmur, all due respect to Pat Shurmur, but clearly, if he spent almost 2 years with a former NFL head coach and had some red flags and stuff he was doing at the whiteboard, that throws up a major red flag to me about Pat Shurmur. So I think better coaching, you're also going to be around better players. If given the amount of reps in practice to prove himself, which, again, I don't know how you run a four-man QB competition, I believe in this kid with everything I've got, man. He's a leader. He's an excellent young man. The flashy stuff, he definitely needs to mature a little bit, and I think they did a poor job of instilling that there's a time and a place for some of that, and maybe they overplayed their hand, certainly, and clearly based upon some of the things, having some outside guidance and not just his dad would have been very helpful in this situation. So we'll see how it plays out. But I'll tell you this, I'm rooting for him every step of the way. I got tons of respect for him.
So the stuff you said about the Colorado situation about a minute ago, does that mean Colorado is bound for, what, a 5-win season this year?
Yeah, you know, the
a lot of problems. A lot of problems. Did they fix the O-line? Is the OC fixed? I mean, like a lot of problems.
That's a good point. Yeah, I have them right now pegged for like a 6-win season. Mm-hmm. They did get Julian Lewis, who's one of the top quarterbacks of the country coming in as a freshman, but he's only 17. He's not ready yet. They did get Liberty transfer Caden Salter to play quarterback, who 2 years ago led an undefeated Liberty team and had over 3,000 yards and 1,000 yards on the ground, right? So, you know, there's some potential there, but quite frankly, they don't have the pocketbook that some of these other schools have. I don't know if you fellas saw this, but Texas reportedly has about a $35 to $40 million, you know, payroll they're working with in name, image, and likeness right now. And until this house settlement gets figured out and the playing field gets regulated a little bit, which it feels like we're heading towards in some sort of a way, in whatever shape or form it takes, Colorado just can't compete at the top. So the fact that they did land Julian Lewis, that last year they did land the number one offensive lineman in the country in Jordan Seaton, they've got some potential. But, you know, on my podcast, we had this long conversation that during spring ball, Coach Prime was talking about how they're going to a better team than last year. And I think there's some coach speak to it, but at the same time, that's setting the bar way, way, way too high based upon the product that I saw on the field all of spring practice and at spring ball. So we'll see what happens when grad transfers can really flood into the portal. They just picked up Maryland's starting left tackle. It just happened within the last 20 minutes. So hopefully some of that stuff improves. But look, guys, there are a lot of questions for Colorado football post Travis and Shador. Namely, can you win without Travis and Shador? Yep. That is the biggest one heading for Colorado football this season.
Matt, tell the Vegas audience where they can find your show.
At Real Matt Smith on YouTube, at Real Matt Smith across all social media platforms. Gentlemen, thank you so much for having me on.
We'll see you, buddy. There he is, Matt Smith.
Sounds good.
Good voice on Colorado sports. Fired up. Yeah, his Shador Sanders tweets for like 3-4 days. I was like, holy crap.
He doesn't really seem that into it.
I hope this guy's okay.
Yeah, he doesn't seem that into it.
He explained that he was blown away. A lot of people were shocked that Shador slipped.
Of course. I was shocked. I mean, I don't think it was shocking that he slipped out of the first round. It was shocking that he made the precipitous drop that he did. He is better than where he was drafted.
Lesson learned for the future. As he mentioned, December 2nd mock drafts mean nothing. Also, when the NFL has unnamed people talking about a quarterback prospect, I would listen to him a little bit because it happened twice at the combine and then the last week of the draft. And they kind of, those two unnamed coaches or whoever they were, laid out the deal Now, we didn't know the whole NFL felt that way, but a lot of people felt that way. I got to tell you, on Colorado football, do you have faith that he's going to have a great year this year, Deion?
No.
I don't.
Not at all.
Now, maybe a lot of it's his hard pitch to the transfer portal to get more players, but I don't need anybody who's been consistent in doing this. I don't need a coach to say I need every position filled. Like, why? What the hell's going on here?
I can't wait. I'm amazed. I can't wait to see this Lewis kid either. You see him show up to this fan event with the Darth Vader chain. Like, it's a very fat, thick one, like, literally covered in diamonds. He bought a brand new, like, I think it was like a Porsche or something like that. Man, I'm so excited. I love that program.
I mean, there is a chance that Caden Salter, the kid they brought in, who was very coveted from Liberty.
Yes, very good.
Is a better quarterback than Shadur.
Yeah.
And actually will run. They'll be able to run a full offense and not have again, the biggest thing with Shadur, I know the O-line wasn't great, but Colorado fans go crazy about how awful it was. Throw on schedule.
Correct.
Throw on schedule. If someone can do that, they'll be able to run the ball. They'll be able to avoid getting sacked 52 times.
I also think it's somewhat troubling to hear that Pat Shurmur didn't really work out when he was brought in to give Colorado a pro-style offense that could prepare Shadur for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really great to hear.
Him.
Yeah.
Former pro guy didn't get him ready for the pros.
Yeah. You can get yourself ready too.
We got tickets to go see The Who. They're coming here in September, September 28th. The song is over. North American Farewell Tour, The Who. September 28th, you can get your tickets starting this Friday. So we got them before they go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m., AXS.com, AXS.com. MGM Grand Garden Arena, The Who. We got two tickets right now. Griffin's going to hook you up, 364-1100, caller 7.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I really do love the Colorado football scene. Not so much the Broncos, but CU. Because really, like every – that really isn't like every program. It's unique in that Prime is still a relatively new story.
Mm-hmm.
As a head coach, and we are going to find out this year if it was the kid winning for Deion or if Deion can really coach. And yes, if there's people out there who are like, he hasn't proven himself yet. No, he hasn't. His kid was a really good college football player. And we're going to see if he can build a college football program that has a complete team. I tell you one thing, I was disappointed. I wasn't going to sit there and argue with Matt this time, but we had Matt Smith on. I just want to call him real Matt Smith all the time. Any school that starts complaining outside of like the top eight programs, any school or fan base that starts complaining about NIL money and putting together a roster, cut it out. Cut it out. I don't need to hear Texas as an example that they're going to spend $35 to $40 million on its football team. So what?
Yeah.
There's like eight schools that can do that. The rest are all in about the same area. We're probably going to have a cap. And with the portal, if you're a good talent evaluator, you can put together a good team and you don't have to spend billions on your team. Like I'll tell you what, sitting over at UNLV, and this is just their approach, and it was Odin's approach, and it's Mullen's approach. I didn't hear anything about the transfer portal or what was us or money or any of that. Now, it's different because possibly UNLV, because it's a group of five, is in a different pool than a Big 12 program like Colorado. But Colorado has plenty of money to put together a pretty good program.
Of course.
So I don't want to hear you have limitations. Yeah, against Texas, you have limitations. But there's also the other side of it. You can pay all the money you want for high-profile transfers. Sometimes they don't match your program. A lot of times it's guys who haven't worked out somewhere else. Maybe you can get them to work out. Maybe they won't work out for you. So this, like, instant – I know it worked out for Ohio State. So that's the example. Like, see, worked. Like, it's 1 year that a high-dollar school went and bought a bunch of guys, and it worked. Calm down.
I agree. To the point of talent evaluation as well, UNLV just used it to get the back-to-back Mountain West Championship games for the first time in its program history.
Personnel judgment,
mm-hmm.
And they got guys from every level. They had guys come down from Power 4 and be productive. By the way, they had other guys come down from Power 4 and be absolutely non-factors. But they also used their level and the level below them and the level below that. I mean, their quarterback was from Campbell before the Holy Cross guy bailed.
Yeah. And they were good.
If you know football, you can find guys. Yeah, I think we're going to hit on this later in the week, but Anthony Calandria, if he's going to be the starter, very underrated in what I think he can do. a list of top 50 quarterbacks came out. Caden Salter, Colorado, 46. Maddox Madsen, 40. Jaden Maiava, 38. I'm not so sure that Calandria is not better than all of them. I don't want to get people too stoked up. But. John, tell people when you're on VSiN tomorrow.
9 to 11 a.m. if you want to check it out over on 1230 The Game.
Stormy, of course, the star of the show. So check it out.
Correct.
A lot of hockey talk.
Let's go!